Welcome to Deep Dive, a podcast series in which Fredericks editor-in-chief Dara Caponegro and fellow editors are joined by design industry leaders to share their unique insights, experiences, and knowledge on the world of decorating.
Hi, I'm Hudson Moore, Fredericks senior design editor. I'm thrilled to introduce today's deep dive guests, Todd Nicky and Amy Kehoe. This duo behind the interior design studio and boutique, Nicky Kehoe, are curious collaborators and modern hunters of uncanny beauty. So let's get right to it. So when the two of you first met in the year 2000, Todd, you were a retail designer working with stores like Ralph Lauren and Donna Karan. And Amy, I think it's correct that you were in hospitality design with the Starwood Group. Is that right?
I was, but when we met, I was actually working for Laura Carrar. That's when our history began.
What originally drew you together as friends and future business partners, now going on 20 years strong?
I mean, the introduction was through friends. So that is sort of the beginning of the relationship. And it was sort of a slow build into time aligning, where professionally there were bigger moves in front of both of us to consider. And it just kind of aligned after several years of friend dating.
I think one of our first courting outings was to the flea market. We went to the 6th Street flea market on 25th. And it did kind of feel like, in some ways, like a first date. It was the first that we were, you know, alone together out in the world and not with our, you know, mutual friends. And there was just a, I don't know, like a very innocent, simple sweetness of just, you know, meeting someone and feeling attracted to them personality wise. And I think, yeah, it was just almost like a platonic love at first sight. And we just built on that. And then it just sort of very organically happened over the course of the next couple of years that Amy moved to Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles, not to be closer to Amy, but that was certainly part of the appeal. And yeah, then it all just sort of aligned when once I moved there that we would, you know, try working together.
Yeah, it was just like one of those periods where neither one of us were kind of locked in to something professionally, that it just was sort of a like, should we do this? Should we make it official? Let's, because that doesn't always come along where you're like open, so to speak.
Right.
I was working for Starwood at that time, and they closed their office and they were like, well, we'll send you back to New York. And I was like, oh, I will never come back here. This was such a big move. And yeah. So that was sort of my break / pause. And Todd had some clients moving out to LA, and it was sort of like, that was the kind of like, I think it's the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I was working for myself at that point doing more residential interiors. And I had one client that I was working with in New York, Jeff Hutchison, and we were working on Theory stores when they first started doing their brick and mortar rollout. And the timing was perfect for me to move to LA. And then again, it just aligned with when I got there, Amy's job in LA was dissolving and we just started working together. Mm-hmm. And here we are somehow 20 years later.
Amazing. So in 2004, you launched Nicky Kehoe, your design firm. And then the retail shop came along in 2008. You know, I have to say, I think if you can survive opening a retail store during a financial crisis, you two can do anything. But since then, you've expanded the business to e-commerce, and you're also opening a New York location, which I'm so excited about. How did your career paths up until that point prepare you for what was to come?
You know, you don't know what it takes to run a business until you're running a business, but I think we both had some really good mentors along the way that provided a structure and a personality, some in, you know, what not to do and others in what to do. But I think we both were very observant of the places that we had been and how people had made us feel. Mm-hmm. And that in building a business, we wanted to make sure we provided the right structure, but also the right temperament for a business. I mean, that's the personality side of it, you know, and then the business side of it, you know, I wish we could say we had a master plan, but it's very trial and error. And I think the biggest part of our success has been the ability to be nimble mm-hmm. and flexible and not have this really sort of like steadfast way of how this is supposed to work and how it's supposed to be. Having a vision, but having the flexibility to kind of build that vision as we go has felt very, really a part of that success.
One of the biggest lessons I've learned with a partnership and being, you know, a growing business is your values have to deeply overlap. And I think that prepared us for each step of the way, because every step is a risk, and making sure you align on how to do that. And I think that has always felt right, no matter what. There's lessons you learn from the exterior of stepping into something and moving shops, buying more product, hiring more people. You learn, like Todd said, that's a sort of knowing when to call for help and bring other people in. But having that internal values overlap has been key.
No, I agree. That's been so much a part of the foundation that we have built on. And it's true. Like I don't think we've ever really had a disagreement about our moral compass, you know. I mean, not that we have other disagreements, but it's really just sort of like that has always been so easily we land in the same spot when it comes to the moral ground.
I'd love to know a little bit about your collaborative process. So what I've heard, Todd, is that you focus a little bit more on the store and Amy, you on the design side. But when you two come together, what does that look like?
Magic.
Again, I think it feels like the foundation. When we started, we did everything together. Every minute of the day for the first couple of years was together. Every workroom visit, every lunch, every client meeting, every presentation we prepped for. And then when we started conceiving on the shop, you know, we charretted together on that, met with vendors. Everything was so together that as we grew and needed to divide and conquer more, that, you know, this more recent sort of Todd spearheading our shop business and me, the design studio, is newer and something we've been building towards, but that has allowed us to jump right back into collaboration because we still develop product together. Todd does all of the buying trips and I do some. So that's where we get to kind of jump back in and talk big, broad strokes.
It's such a great way to collaborate because, you know, we're both so busy now with, you know, I mean, Amy's probably got 10 to 12 projects going on at one given time. And then I have a lot of the retail stuff and the product development and the vintage buying and all of those things. And again, like we really do overlap. We sit close to each other and share an office, and it's there's an osmosis to it that we both stay informed about what's going on in both parts of the business. Actually, New York has been really an amazing place to re-collaborate and really kind of pull us back together. It's like there's always these magnetic fields that pull us together, and either it's a buying trip if we go to Europe together, or we go to a trade show, or now it's New York. They're really sort of, they're foundational. And again, like Amy was saying, we have such a history of collaborating and working together that it's very easy to plug back in and feel, you know, like there's, we're right back where we left off. Like that there is, you know, we know what's going on in each other's work lives as well as personal lives.
Let's talk a little bit about your buying curating. Tell me a little bit about what that's like for your store and for your interiors. I know you both mentioned going far and wide to find, you know, that special thing.
The buying trips they're sort of different tones to them, because there's the vintage buying trips and then there's the product development trips, which Todd does, that are really cool and that speak to more of that craft, whether it's India or Mexico, where you are really having fine artisan made product. And it's a whole world. I'll let Todd jump in because he's the one doing those.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, they're incredible. You know, I mean, through various sources, we have found these artisans to work with. And I mean, one of the really fun trips that we did was Amy and I did through someone who kind of introduced us to a lot of the artisans in Mexico that we work with. He took us on this trip, this road trip from Mexico City to Guadalajara, and we drove for 4 or 5 days and just stopped in all of these little towns and villages along the way and literally developed product like on the fly with these people. And it was so incredible to see how this is made, meet these people, get so inspired by what they're doing, and then kind of their willingness to be flexible with, you know, working with us and kind of like, well, what if we did this to it? And not wanting to take what they're doing and call it our own, but use their incredible skill set and create pieces for us. Mm-hmm. That's just one of many trips like that where we really kind of dive into the deep end with these people and develop product. And, you know, we've done the same with going to India, and it's incredible. Like there are times when we can't believe that this is our job, yeah. You know, that we actually get to think these things and then have these people to help us bring them to reality.
And the other cool thing about the buying trips is when we discover new artisans, it can often bring new potential into adding to our collection. Todd worked and met with somebody who works in stone recently in Mexico, which has just been like, what can we do? And, you know, there's new ideas spewing. And then further down the line, the design studio gets to benefit too, because there might be customizations we want to try that without having that working relationship, it's really hard to fabricate something. So it is, you know, it kind of permeates through the whole business.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa, you know, Amy's been, you know, Amy's such a sleuth when it comes to finding amazing artisans to work on interiors projects and whatever. And then, you know, seeing what she's created will be like, well, should we bring this into the line or whatever? So they really, you know, they feed each other really fluidly, very organically.
We're going to take a quick break to thank the sponsor of today's show, Schumacher. Since 1889, the fifth generation family business has been the go-to source for textiles, wallpapers, and trims. Their insatiable passion for luxury, beauty, and quality have produced designs that transcend time and rise above the ordinary. So head to Schumacher.com to check it out.
So I've had the privilege of visiting your store in Los Angeles, and it feels so comfortable and lived in, almost like an extension of one of your homes. Is that kind of what you were trying to create? And what do you think a store needs in order to kind of create that atmosphere for clients?
I don't think that was ever our intent, to make it feel like an extension of our home. But I mean, that's so nice of you to say. I'm so glad that that's your reaction. But I think it's just sort of, we do what we love, and we love having people come in and spend time, and we want it to be an inviting space and inspiring. And it takes a village. It's not Amy and I moving the furniture around and putting all of us together. We have such an incredible team of people that we work with. It is kind of a laboratory. Like, everybody has a point of view and everybody has a say in kind of how this develops and gets executed. It's such a beautiful process to experience.
So I read somewhere about you both explaining your design approach, and you explained it like a journey. Could you tell me a little bit more about the design process?
I mean, the thing that I would say comes up for me, and I'm sure Todd as well, is the beginning of a project is kind of so overwhelming. even as a professional, the world is your oyster. And sure, a site might inform a lot, it should, but then you still have so many options to contend with. So that sort of naturally informs how we build, which is through a foundation, like establish kind of a tone and a narrative that can then, like the shop, be layered into along the way. I think time and time again, we love the surprise 5 months in, 9 months in of going, oh, wow, this works in here. And I would have never thought that if I had like just been looking at our first concept day one. So I think that's really the essence that ties the two parts of our business together, is like leaving the door open, not knowing, being okay with not knowing, because there is a foundation and a filter that you have established that is the narrative. And sometimes we wonder if it's the most efficient way to design, you know, versus like having it all locked and in a purchasing book and it's done and whoop, you have an installation day and it's got a bow around it, which I really admire. And to an extent we do, obviously, but it's more just not done in a 2 month period, but maybe over 6-8 months as you reach that deadline of moving somebody in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really an artistic process and we really try hard to not make it such a linear path. And I think we have enough experience now. Like, it used to be really scary and be like, oh, I hope this works out. But now I feel like we go through the process confidently and feel like we know this is going to land, and it's going to land in a great spot because we have given it the time to be created and gathered, not just purchased and installed.
So let's talk about your tastes and kind of the looks that you bring to the table and how have they evolved since we first met?
This is where it gets dicey.
I mean, it's funny. Every once in a while, I'll see a color or a stripe and it's just like, that's Todd. I don't know if it's not even like a masculine, feminine thing, or, you know, there's enough shared admiration for classic and comfort that, you know, whether it steers left or right of something is sort of the boundary of how I would say our taste differs.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. There's a big Venn diagram, you know, there's a huge overlap, but then there's also very distinct differences that are incredibly complementary, but I wouldn't say, I could definitely go through and be like, that's Todd, that's Amy, you know, in terms of, you know, picking pieces or fabrics or whatever. But again, it's like, it's such an admiration and I get constantly inspired by Amy and what she's doing in design projects and what she's doing in her house. And I think, you know, that informs what I'm bringing to the shop and, you know, how I'm kind of influencing things like that. And not that we don't collaborate on those, but, you know, really sort of narrowing down what the options are. I get inspired by her and then I think she gets inspired by what we're doing in the shop, and that comes into the design projects. And, you know, it is this big playground of give and take of all of these different influences and places that we travel and what we're referencing for whatever it is that we're working on.
One of my favorite things, though, is every once in a while, Todd will be like, I bought you this chair, which is not a small thing. And it's always right. And it's always me. And it's like, I have like pieces of furniture he has just selected and brought into my home because he knows my eye and like knows I'll appreciate it. And it might not be something you pick out for yourself. Sometimes it's a one for you, one for me.
So in addition to the creative process, you've also had to learn how to grow and manage a large team. So tell me about this learning curve, trying to balance the creative with the business side. And is there anything that you've experienced coming up in the industry that maybe you wanted to shy away from when creating your own company?
I describe the team, both sides right now, almost is the, like, there's a tone to everybody that is just kind, generous of spirit, helpful, passionate. Like, you won't be able to fit if you aren't those things. Not because, you know, it's a club that you can't, it's not a, you know, members only club, but it's just, that's the last 20 years is building that and feeling kind of like we're locked arm in arm with that person who represents all of those things I just described. And that's not always a really easy road. I mean, you learn hard to get to that, but it feels so good right now because that is how I would describe every team member at Nikki Kehoe, is characteristic of just warmth, helpfulness, and a huge passion for the industry. That's one part of the question.
Yeah. No, I think that's so well said though, and I totally agree. It's almost like, you know, when we do hire people, we're like, we can now say like, oh, this is a fit. You know, it's like, it's not just, oh, you're good at your job or whatever. Like, you check these boxes. It's a cultural fit. Yeah. And that is so crucial. And, you know, we always say like, you know, the bad apples just kind of work themselves out. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really had any bad apples, but it's, you know, sometimes it just isn't quite a fit, but it's been such a beautiful organic process. And I think that sort of does go back to, I think, something I was mentioning earlier about just having worked in places where that isn't necessarily the idea or whatever. It's like people are just hired for their job and they're, you know, everybody's a cog in a machine and it doesn't feel right. And it doesn't, you know, there isn't, you know, you think about the amount of time you spend a third of your life in your work environment during, you know, Monday through Friday. And you want that to be good and have something that's inspiring and be with people you really do enjoy. It also creates a place where we don't have to be the principals or the, you know, the police of governing all of that. It's really sort of, you know, it takes a village, you know, it really is kind of this process that I think, again, having those experiences that weren't so great and some that were really good and inspiring, we have brought that along with us and kind of created this, you know, little Eden of our own.
the no temper tantrum Eden.
Exactly.
Well, I can testify to that in meeting you both and also in working with, you know, people from the shop on things for Frederick and in pulling stuff for shoots. Your team is incredibly helpful and so kind, and it's always great to work with you all. So you two are so incredibly busy. Where do you go or what do you do when you need a break?
It's a lot of time in nature, really, is the downtime. And we travel so much for work that, you know, we love traveling, but we get to see so much of the world in such an interesting way that I would say downtime is, you know, it might involve a little local flea market or there's always shopping.
There's always shopping.
But I just think, you know, being with our animals and outside is sort of the downtime reboot.
I think that reflects in the shop, especially I think in household. It's sort of what are our genuine interests? And, you know, that is gardening. That's, like Jamie said, like our, you know, animals and nature and all of these things that really do sort of feed our soul. And then we kind of bring that back out in the shop, you know, and like, so we're inspired by what our activities are. And then, you know, kind of developing product or finding product that support those.
Yeah, Todd's known to usually make a 12-hour stew or chili, or, you know, maybe he's bringing a new pot home to test out that might make its way to the shelves at some point.
So our last question, just tell me, what's next for Nikki Kehoe? Are there any fun new projects in the works?
Obviously, we're wrapping up on the opening of the shop in New York, which is huge. So just, you know, having a moment to breathe and feel what it's like to have a second location across the country. It feels like we're still in the midst of that big spurt of growth. There's always, you know, new product development that we're excited about. And residentially or interiors wise, we have some really, really exciting historic properties in Los Angeles. Next year, there'll be a lobby refresh at Shutter's Hotel on the beach, which is sort of a classic LA property.
That's amazing. That's so exciting. I'm so excited for the New York store and can't wait to come check it out. Well, this has been great. Thank you all so much.
So nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Deep Dive.